word. So let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're a needy people. We need your help at all times, and that includes when we're looking at your word. We need your help. Send your Spirit among us now, we pray. Give us your help as we look at your word, and may it impart light to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this past week on Tuesday was October 31, 2017, and that date marked an important anniversary. It marked an important anniversary because it was 500 years since Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. Now, that may or may not mean something to you, but basically that was an important day because it was the spark which ignited a movement that spread across the whole of Europe. And that movement, known as the Reformation, changed the whole face of Europe. And without exaggeration, you would have to say that it changed the whole course of the world itself. Many of the principles upon which societies like ours are founded on historically can be traced back to this era. And so it was an incredibly important time. Now, our interest in looking at this subject together over the next 5 weeks is not to trace all the effects that era had on world history, although to do that would be a fascinating thing to do. But our interest is just to get to the heart of what the Reformation was all about. Because in the end, the Reformation, although it had massive societal effects, in the end, the Reformation was about how a person may be made right with God. The church of the day, which was the Catholic Church, that really was the only church at that time, the church of the day had become corrupt in its teachings and in its practices. So the plain truths of the Bible as to how we are made right with God, those plain teachings had become obscured. They were there right back in the early days of the church, but over 1,500 years, those teachings had become obscured. And in this period known as the Reformation, God, by his grace, helped people to rediscover five great truths concerning our salvation. And those five great truths are this. Basically, what was rediscovered at the time of the Reformation was that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, on the authority of Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. Those were the five key truths from the Bible that were rediscovered at the time of the Reformation. Now, they're called the five solas, from the repetition of the word alone, sola, in Latin. And because we've just had 500 years since the Reformation, we're going to take this opportunity to work through these five truths together as a church. Now, can I say, if you're coming along midweek as well, as we go through this there as well, you'll probably get more history there midweek than what I'll give on a Sunday morning. I'll make some reference to history just by way of illustration in our times together, but my big goal in our times on Sunday morning, it is just to show you what the Bible is saying. That's my big goal in our times together here on Sunday morning. And so the first grand truth that we're looking at this morning is called faith alone, or sola fide in the Latin. And the passage that we are looking at is that passage that we read earlier, Galatians chapter 2, verse 15. And we'll look at it through to the end of the chapter, verse 21. Galatians chapter 2, verse 15, through to the end of the chapter. And I'd invite you to turn there if you haven't got that open yet. Galatians 2, verse 15. And the big idea of the book of Galatians is that we are justified by faith alone. In other words, we are made right with God. That's what the word justified means. We are made right with God by faith alone. And the rediscovery of this truth was just so important. The biblical teaching of justification by faith alone, said Luther, is the principal article of all Christian doctrine which makes true Christians indeed. Okay, he said, this is the principal article of all Christian doctrine. This is just fundamental to our Christian faith. Okay, it's by justification by faith alone that we become a Christian. And also it's by justification by faith alone, that teaching is foundational also just in our growth as Christians too. And we'll talk about that as we go along. And so this is just a foundational Christian teaching. And Luther said that this teaching is just so important both for the salvation of the unbeliever and for the health of the believer that we must meditate on this teaching often. I love the way that he puts this at one point. He makes me laugh. He writes, "Most necessary it is that we should know this article well, teach it unto others, and beat it into their heads continually." I'm not quite sure of his philosophy of communication. I think Ken Stebbins would describe that as the bullet theory of communication. But I do agree with this, that this is something that we must meditate on often if we are to genuinely care for the lost world around us and if we are to grow as believers. And so let's look at this, faith alone. Our first point simply is this, we are justified by faith alone. Okay, we see this in verses 15 and 16. All right, in verses 15 and 16, we are told that all people, whoever they are made right with God in the same way, through faith alone. Let's read these verses, 15 and 16. "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified." Okay, what Paul here is acknowledging is that Jews like him and Peter had a lot of spiritual advantages, and yet they still had to go to God in exactly the same way as non-Jews, called Gentiles. Okay, the Jews, they had many, many spiritual and moral advantages. They had the law of God. They had the prophets teaching them about the law of God. And they had the covenants, the special way that God had chosen to relate to them as a people down through the ages. The Jews, they had all of these advantages in terms of their relationship with God. And in fact, when they compared themselves to the Gentiles, non-Jews, who didn't have all of this teaching and so on, the way that they thought of Gentiles was as sinners compared to them. You'll notice in verse 15 that the Gentiles there are described as sinners. That was just a common way that the Jew referred to the Gentile. That's how they thought of non-Jews compared to them. See, the Jews, they had all of these moral advantages. They had all of these spiritual advantages. And yet Paul says that even for someone like me, a Jew, and in fact a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as he describes himself elsewhere, one of the most upright Jews around, even for someone like Paul, he came to realize that he wasn't made right with God by works, by the things that he does, but only by faith in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 16, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law." Hey, even someone like Paul, even someone like Peter, even people like that came to realize that they are made right with God by faith in Christ, not by the things that they do or even by all of their moral advantages, all of their spiritual advantages. So friends, whatever your background, whether you've had an upright background or whether you've had a corrupt background, we're all saved in the same way. Okay, maybe you're someone here who was brought up in a strong Christian home. Your mother used to sing to you "Onward, Christian Soldiers" while she nursed you. Your dad had a Bible reading with you from the age of 6 months. You never missed Sunday school. You never missed church. You learned not the shorter catechism, but the larger catechism, okay, with the memory verses. You were just a step ahead of the rest, right? And your daddy taught you how to read the Bible in Greek, of course. And you became school captain and you visited elderly people in your teenage years and so on and so on and so on. And what Paul says here is that you might have all of that, but if you think that any of those things is going to contribute to your salvation, you are deceived. In fact, Paul says elsewhere that the best of what he had done was just like excrement before God. It was rubbish. Now, it's not that any of those things are bad. They are good. But none of those things get us right with God. We are justified. We are made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. And kids and young people here, I want you to know that. I want you to know that nothing in your family, nothing in your church, nothing like that is going to make you right with God. It's only by trusting in Jesus that you are made right with God. And this is what Paul the Jew and Peter came to realize. And friends, you know what? It was the same for the Gentiles too. It was the same for the non-Jews, okay? The Gentiles, they didn't have the law, they didn't have the prophets, they didn't have all of the special promises made to them, but they could still be made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, maybe for you, you've had a background which is just the opposite to what I've described. Maybe for you, you were born into a family that had zero interest in God whatsoever. You never went to church. Your dad was in and out of jail. Your mum was a drug addict. Friday night was party night. And you got into that kind of scene yourself from head to toe from a very, very young age. And you know what? If that kind of story is more your kind of story, the Bible teaches that none of that makes one scrap of difference as to whether or not you can be made right with God. It makes not one scrap of difference. You cannot out-sin God's ability to save you. You just can't. Because you see, justification is by faith alone. It's not by keeping God's laws. And this is what Paul came to realize 2,000 years ago. And it's what many people down through the ages have come to realize as they read the Bible, including Martin Luther 500 years ago. We are justified by faith alone. Now, there was a small word that I just mentioned there, which is very easy to leave off, but it in fact is central to what this is all about. And that is the word alone. We're justified by faith alone. Okay, this is the big point that Paul is making in verse 16. We're not saved by faith and what we do. Okay, we're justified by faith alone. Verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. We're not justified by the things that we do, but by faith in Jesus Christ, he says, that we might be justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And then he says it again, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified. Can you see there the way that there's this contrast between faith and works? It's not that we're saved by trusting in Jesus and by the things that we do. No, it's not at all by the works of the law at all. We're saved by faith alone, is what it's saying. And friends, this is the crux of the issue. And it was the crux of the issue 500 years ago in Luther's day as well. Okay, you know, if you talk to a priest back in Luther's day, and you said, we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, you know what the priest would have said? Absolutely, we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. But if you said to a priest back in Luther's day, we are justified by faith alone, there's no way that they would agree to that. And they still wouldn't today. Okay, the teaching of the Catholic Church was and is that faith is like the initial stage of our justification, being made right with God. The teaching of the Catholic Church is that faith is kind of like the root or the foundation. So you need faith in Jesus, but faith in Jesus is not enough. Faith in Jesus is just the beginning. And so you can have faith, but you also have to have the sacraments in order to be justified. And so if you don't keep on going to Mass, you won't be justified. And if you commit a mortal sin, that also destroys justification. And so you need to then do penance in order to make up for your mortal sin. And so you see, there's all of these things that you actually have to do in order to be truly right with God. Faith in Jesus is just seen as the beginning of justification. And friends, I hate to say it. I wish it wasn't the case. I really, really do. I hate to say it, but the teaching of the Catholic Church is still the same today. Okay, if I can quote from the Catholic Catechism. This is written in 1995, the present catechism. It reads, the grace of the Holy Spirit has the power to justify us, that is, to cleanse us from our sins and to communicate to us the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Then it goes on, and through baptism. Well, you look at another section, it reads this, justification is conferred in baptism, the sacrament of faith. It conforms us to the righteousness of God, who makes us inwardly just by the power of his mercy. You see the way that being made right with God there, being justified, is connected to something that we do or is done to us. We are saved by faith in Jesus and that's the point. Jesus and. Now, friends, you might say, does that really matter? But friends, it really does matter. Because listen to what Paul says. He says this. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Not justified by the works of the law. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ. And then he says it again, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh will be justified. Look also again in verse 21. He says there, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain, he says. See, Paul gets to the heart of it. He says, if we get right with God through what we do, even just a little bit, then why did God bother sending Jesus at all? If we contribute to our salvation, then what we're saying is that Jesus hasn't done enough to really save us. And this is just so important. It goes to the heart of the gospel. You know, your eternity is at stake in terms of what you believe here. Because what the Bible teaches is that you cannot be a Christian by trusting in Jesus and your good works. Justification is by faith alone. Now, friends, sometimes at this point people are confused. Sometimes people are confused because they say, well, if I'm right with God by faith alone, doesn't that mean that really what makes me right with God is my faith? Aren't I just earning my salvation through faith? And the Bible's answer to that is no. The biblical idea of justification by faith alone is that faith contributes no merit whatsoever to our justification. Okay, faith is simply the instrument by which we are saved. All right, I want to just explain this a little bit more. When the Bible says that we're justified by faith, it uses some different prepositions in the Greek. I'm sorry to go into the language here, but it is helpful at this point. It uses some different prepositions at this point. Sometimes the Bible uses the Greek preposition ek, which means by, as here in verse 16. Other times it uses the Greek preposition dia, which means through, okay? Justified by faith, justified through faith. But one preposition that it never uses in relation to justification is it never uses the Greek preposition kata, meaning on account of, okay? In other words, the Bible never says that we are justified on account of our faith. It will tell us that we are justified by faith. It will tell us that we are justified through faith, but it will never tell us that we are justified on account of faith. Now, why is that? Why does the Bible say that we are justified by faith, but refuse to say that we are justified on account of our faith? The reason is because faith contributes no merit to our salvation, none whatsoever. Rather, faith is just the instrument by which we lay hold of the merit of Jesus Christ. It is Christ's merit and Christ's merit alone that counts. Faith is just the instrument that connects us to Him. Okay, we're saved on account of what Christ has done. It's what Christ has done that has all of the power in it. And faith is just the instrument to lay hold of Christ. Okay, I want to quote Sinclair Ferguson on this. And again, I appreciate that this is a little bit technical, but it's a question that does come up a bit, and so I just want to try to reason it through with you. Sinclair Ferguson, what he says I believe is helpful, he writes this. He says, "It is the nature of faith, indeed its very genius, that by it we actively receive justification in Christ without contributing to it. After all, faith is trust in another. It is the antithesis of self-contribution or self-trust. Warfield puts it this way, the saving power of faith resides not in itself, but in the Almighty Saviour upon whom it rests. It is not faith that saves, but faith in Jesus Christ. It is not, strictly speaking, even faith in Christ that saves, but Christ that saves through faith. The saving power resides exclusively not in the act of faith or the attitude of faith or the nature of faith, but in the object of faith, in who the faith is put in. We could not more radically misconceive it than by transferring to faith even the smallest fraction of that saving energy which is attributed in the scriptures wholly to Christ himself. Okay, basically what's being said there is that the power for salvation is Christ. Faith is just the open hand, okay? Faith is just the open hand that comes before God and says, I am a beggar. I have no power of myself to save me. Would you, God, give me Christ to save me? That's what faith is. It's the open hand that is seeking help from God. That's faith. The non-meritorious instrument by which all of what Christ has done is given to us. And so, friends, when we say that we're justified by faith alone, what we're not saying is that faith is the one good work that we do to earn our salvation. What we're saying is that we're saved totally and completely by resting in Christ to save us. Friends, do you have that faith? Do you have that faith? Are you resting in Christ and not on your own merit to save you? Friends, you don't need to do anything to save yourself. Do you realize that? Relax. Just rest in Christ. He will save you. Faith is resting in Christ to save you. This is the instrument of faith. And so we've spoken of justification by faith alone. And now what I want to do is I just want to say that when you talk about justification by faith alone, you often meet an objection, really common objection. I've had various people say this to me, and the Bible addresses it as well. The basic objection that you get is, if I'm saved by faith alone, not by what I do, isn't that going to be a disincentive to actually living a good life? Won't people just decide to live a terrible life because their works don't save them anyway? That's the kind of question that is often asked. And so the next thing that we're going to look at here, we'll spend a short amount of time on this, but the next thing we're going to look at here is just the fact that justification by faith alone will change you. Okay, it's actually going to have a really positive effect in your life. Justification by faith alone is an enormous incentive to godly living. It will change you. And we see this in verses 17 through to 20. Okay, in verses 17 and 18, we see to begin with that justification by faith alone is no reason to sin. Okay, we read in verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Now, these verses are a little bit tricky, but basically what Paul seems to be saying is, if someone believes in justification by faith and they still sin, is it because justification by faith in Christ promotes sin? I think that's what he's asking. And he gives an answer. He says, absolutely not. Totally impossible. Certainly not, he says. If I build again my old sinful lifestyle, the problem is with me. The problem isn't with justification by faith alone. Justification by faith alone is no reason to sin whatsoever. That's what Paul's saying. And he goes on, and he says, on the contrary, justification by faith alone is transformative. The person who's truly been justified by faith alone will live for God, he says. We see this in verses 19 through to 20. It says there, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What he's saying there is that since being justified, Paul now lives for God. Now, why does he live for God? Well, certainly God has worked a great change in his life through the Holy Spirit, absolutely. But you see, the truths that you believe in your life. Those truths, they also change you, don't they? Truth, when it is believed, it changes you. And this truth, the truth of justification by faith alone, changed Paul. It changed his view of the world. Through justification by faith alone, Paul went from being someone who lived to self to being someone who lived for God, who loved him and gave himself for him. Okay, let's run through the passage. Paul tells us in verse 19 that I, through the law, died to the law, that I might live to God. And see, previously when Paul was trying to keep the law in order to be right with God, he wasn't actually living for God, was he? When Paul was trying to work his way to heaven, he wasn't living for God, he was living for self. Paul may have been very good, he may have been very moral, but really he wasn't being very moral and good for God's sake. It was just about earning brownie points with God. He was living for self. And so that's where Paul started, but then things change. You see, what happened next, the Bible tells us, is that the law of God actually convicted him of sin. Paul says elsewhere in Romans 7 that it was through God's law that he realized that he was a covetous person and that he wasn't able to match up to God's standards. And so Paul suddenly, he was faced with this crisis in his life where he realized that he was never going to be able to match up to the standards of God, to get to God by keeping the law. And so he stopped living to the law, he died to the law as his Savior, and he found Christ. And friends, we're told here in verse 19 that it was after he stopped living to the law as his Savior that he started living to God. I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. See, Paul actually got to a point where there was this transition in life where he stopped doing the right thing to earn brownie points with God and rather just started trying to obey God because he wanted to please God and because he wanted to live for God. That was the transition that happened in his life. Now, friends, what brings about that change in his life where he stops wanting to live for self and now wants to live for God? What's the great motive behind Paul's desire to now live for God? Well, it was the fact that he'd come to realize that he's justified by faith alone. Okay, have a look at verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You see what Paul's saying here? Paul is saying that he lives life on the basis now of who he is in Christ. He's been crucified with Christ. In other words, he is as free from condemnation as if he himself died on the cross to pay for his own sin. Paul realizes what Christ has done for him. He's been crucified with Christ. And now, Paul says, Christ lives in me. Christ's resurrection work, resurrection life is at work in me. And so Paul lives on the basis of who he is in Christ. See, Paul has this sense of all that God has done for him. Paul realizes that Jesus has paid the debt and that he has life in Jesus and that he himself had nothing to do with that whatsoever. And so Paul no longer views life according to simply keeping a set of rules, but Paul now actually wants to live for this God. He wants to live for this God because he remembers who he is by faith in Christ, who loved him and gave himself for him. Paul is motivated by God's love for him in Christ, and this drives him forward day by day in his life. Friends, justification by faith alone will help you to live differently. The life that we now live, we must live by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave his life for us. Matt Chandler talks about this in a sermon of his on Faith Alone, Sola Fide. He says that he became a Christian out of a non-Christian background, but found himself in a church where basically moralism was the emphasis rather than the gospel. You know, he says, true love waits, that kind of thing. Don't listen to rock music. That was the sort of emphasis of where he was. And he says that while, of course, the gospel is meant to transform lives, yet the emphasis on morals actually led him into a way of thinking where, quote, the weight of energy in my relationship with Christ ceased to actually be my relationship with Christ in any real way, and ended up being, let me behave appropriately. And he says this had a detrimental impact on him. He says, I found that to be soul-stealing and affection-draining and heartbreaking in regards to the pursuit of righteousness outside of understanding the nature of my relationship with Christ. And he goes on and he says that it was in really meditating on the teaching of sola fide, faith alone, that he was revived. He says this, as I began to lose steam, as my affections began to dissipate, it was sola fide and an understanding of that truth that transformed my heart in a thousand different ways. It began to propel a passion in me toward God's godness. I had been trapped in trying to better myself, clean myself up so that God might approve of me and love me, rather than walking in the freedom of being known by God because of faith alone and grace alone, and being accepted by Him because of what He has done and not what I am able to do. See, what he was saying there was that sola fide, faith alone, actually propelled him in his passion toward God. It was as he was reminded of the God who loved me and gave himself for me so that I could not be justified according to the works of the law, but simply by faith in Jesus Christ. It was as he was reminded of that God that he was propelled forward in his passion to live for God. This is what drove him. And friends, this is what drove Paul also. We are justified by faith alone. And that truth is a truth which by the work of God's Spirit will bring a person's soul from darkness to light. And it is a truth which by the work of God's Spirit will help a person's soul to grow in living for God. We are justified by faith alone. And so my prayer for you today is that if you have not yet come to Christ, that this truth would change you, that you would want Christ through faith in Him and in Him alone. And my prayer for you today is that if you do already know Christ, that this truth would be continuing to change you, that you would be propelled forward in seeking to live for God in your life, knowing this God who loved you and gave his life for you.